Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, and we're on the end of the first line, Ella. Now, just to reiterate, we had a brisa which presented a, shall we call it, a debate between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Akiva identifies the Mekoshesh Eitzim as none other than Slavchad, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira accuses him of being Motzi Laz, of somehow creating this libel against the Mekoshesh Eitzim. So the Gemara says, so according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who was Slavchad? Where did he come from? And the Gemara is going to present a different Avera of Slavchad, which is on a lower level. Meaning, even Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who rejects the identification of Slavchad as the Mekoshesh Eitzim, he has to agree that Slavchad must have died for some sin. I mean, the daughters testify Avinu Mes. And the Gemara says, Miveyapilu Hava. There are a group of people called the Mapilim, and in Sefer Bamidbar, the Torah records that Hashem got angry at the people of Israel in the aftermath of the Chet HaMeraglim, and the people were so depressed about the divine anger that they decided they will violate the warning of Moshe. And Moshe told them, don't go up the mountain to fight against Amalek. And nevertheless, they did so. So it was a group of people called the Mapilim who ascended to the mountain in defiance of Moshe's warning. And this is a low-level sin, because really what motivated the people was to try to do tshuva and to show that, you know, they're ready to climb the mountain, fight the battles, enter the land of Israel. But nevertheless, they had rebelled against Moshe's warning. Hashem wasn't ready to accept their approach, and they died. Now the Gemara quotes another machlokes between the same Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira in a similar kind of a way. Kayotze b'davar, very similar, ata omer, on a pasuk also in Sefer Bamidbar, it says, Vayichar af Hashem bom vayelech. This is a pasuk that we read here in Eretz Yisrael last Shabbos. And you remember that at the end of Parashas Baloscha, Miriam spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu. And the pasuk says, Vayichar af Hashem bom. God was angry at them, in the plural. So Rabbi Akiva says, Malame, this teaches us, Sha'af Aaron Nitztara. The Pasuk describes Hashem's wrath, and he brought about Tzaras as a punishment. And since the Torah says that Hashem was angry at both of them, even at Aaron, he was also a participant, albeit on a lower level, in this Lashon Hara's critique against Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Akiva therefore assumes that the affliction and the punishment of Tzaras was meted out even to Aaron. And Omer lo Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Akiva, Bein kach u bein kach hata asid litein es adin. You're going to be punished for what you're saying no matter what. Im kidvarecha, if what you say is true, and Aaron became a Tzaras, is a Torah kisato, the Torah concealed it, viata megaloso, and you reveal it, that you're not allowed to do, v'im lav, And if what you're saying is not true at all, then atamotzi laz al oso sadik, this is a libel against Aaron, that Aaron had such a severe punishment as Miriam. So the Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Yudim and Beseira Elichoksiv Bom, I mean, the Torah does say that Hashem was angry at both of them, including Aaron. So the Gemara says, Hahu bin Zifa bi Alma. True, Hashem was not happy with Aaron as well, because Aaron was a secondary, but albeit a participant in this Lashon Hara. And he'll get some sort of a nezifa. Nezifa is like a whammy, you know, when you're upset with someone, you know, you give them a real shtach, as we call it in Yiddish. But he was not on that severe level that he would be punished with tzaras. Tanya kemandi omer af Aaron nitztara. But we have a brisa that supports the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And Aaron too was afflicted with tzaras. Dichsiv, vayifen Aaron el Miriam vehine mitzaras. And Aaron turned to Miriam, and behold, she was afflicted with tzaras. Tana, and the brisa teaches, shepana mitzaraso. In other words, he was cured first, and pana means he turned aside from his tzaras, and he saw that she was still in the state of tzaras. So she got a more severe punishment. But it's clear from this brisa that even Aaron was punished with tzaras. Now, the Gemara adds another agadic comment here in the context of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra and his claim that, you know, you're suspecting Aaron of a more severe sin, or tzlofchad. Rabbi Akiva, how can you suspect him of a more severe sin? That's called choshed b'ksherim. Omrei shlokish ha-choshed b'ksherim lo kebegufo. If somebody has a bad thought about someone else is innocent, but this person, we'll call him Ruvain, thinks that Shimon is guilty, and Shimon is not guilty. So as a result, Ruvain will suffer a punishment. He will be stricken in his body. In other words, Hashem usually is more compassionate and brings out a punishment on someone's property, but here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very intolerant, and therefore, Loke Begufo, he'll be struck in his body. Tichsiv, where do we see this from, says Reish Lakish? Vehein lo yaminu bi. Moshe at the snare, when Hashem tells Moshe that he will be the Redeemer of Israel, he'll appear and he'll tell the people of Israel that he's here to redeem them, and Moshe responds, they won't believe me. But Vegalya Kamei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Demehemne Yisrael, God knows that the people will believe him. As the Pasuk says later on, Vayamein Ha'am, they believed in Moshe. Amar lo, so Hashem is very harsh on Moshe, and he says, Hein ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, they are believers, the sons of believers. Vata, but you, Ein sofcha lahamin, you will ultimately fall short of emuna. And the Bryce and Reish Lakish now explains, Hein ma'aminim d'chsiv ayamein ha'am, the people believed in Moshe when he came. B'nei ma'aminim, because in the parsha of the Brisbane of Asarim, when Hashem appears to Avram Avinu, it says, Vehem in Bashem, that he believed in Hashem. Hashem promised him that his descendants would inherit the land, and Moshe and Avram believed it. So the people of Israel are Maminim B'nei Maminim. The Emunah, the faith, is in their bloodstream. Aval Atah, but you, Moshe Rabbeinu, Ein Sofcha Lahamin. You will ultimately fall shy of Emunah. Shenemar Yan Lohemantim Bi. This we'll see in a few weeks when we get to the parasha of the Sneh, of the Selah, of the rock. And Moshe Rabbeinu was told to speak to the rock, and instead he hits the rock, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu accuses him and Aaron as well that they didn't believe in Hashem. By the way, the commentaries in that parsha in Chukas claim that it's not that Moshe didn't believe, but that Moshe didn't sanctify the name of God on the highest level. That's a lack of emunah. All right, that's a parsha unto itself. Now, Reish Lakish says that a person who suspects someone else unjustifiably is going to be punished in his body. Okay, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very harsh on Moshe, but where do we see that Moshe suffered in his body? So we go back to the encounter of Moshe with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Sneh. Tichsiv, Vayomer lo od havei no yodcha b'chikecha. The Pasuk says, put your hand inside your bosom, and Moshe Rabbeinu brings out his hand, and it was stricken with tzaras. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu also got tzaras. Now, the Gemara, once having quoted the statement of Reish Lakish about Choshed B'Ksherim, and mentioning that Moshe Rabbeinu was stricken with tzaras, the Gemara adds another insight that we can learn from Moshe Rabbeinu's tzaras. Omar Rava Vitema Rab Yosi Rab Chanina Mida Tova Mimaheris Lovo Mimidas Puranios. When Hashem is meeting out a Mida Tova, a reward for someone, then it comes quickly. But when he comes to meeting out Puranios, which is punishment, it comes a little bit slowly. And how do we see that? And by the way, the word Mida Tova, that phrase, means more than just a reward. It means anytime Hashem is personifying His compassion. The Ilu B'midas Puranios, when Moshe was punished with Tzaras Ksiv, the Parsk says, Vayotzei'ah V'hine Yodo Mitzaras Kashelik. And the Pasuk adds the word Vayotzei'ah, when he took out his arm, then it was stricken with tzaras, like the snow. So the implication is that until he took out his hand, it was not stricken with tzaras. So Hashem delays the punishment. And again, even though it's only a minute or so, but it's the Gemara is talking on a conceptual level, the message that is trying to be conveyed here. Ve'ilu b'mida tova. Now Moshe Rabbeinu is granted compassion by God, and his tzaras is going to be healed. He withdrew his hand from his bosom, and behold, it had reverted to be like his flesh. The Torah emphasizes the word mecheko. And mecheko means that already when his hand was inside his bosom, even before he took his hand out, it was already healed. It was already reverted to normal, healthy flesh. Now the Gemara has another agadic statement about the miracle of Aaron's staff, of his mata Aaron. The Torah says, back in Shmos, after Hashem tells Moshe that he will be the Redeemer, and he tells Moshe to instruct Aaron to cast down the staff in front of Paro, it says, Vayivla mate Aaron es matosam. And the staff of Aaron swallowed their staffs. Omar Rabbi Lazar nes betoch nes. This is a double miracle. Because first of all, it was a miracle that the staff turned into a snake. And secondly, it's not that Aaron's snake swallowed up the other snakes, but rather even after Aaron's snake reverted back to be a staff, nevertheless it was able to swallow up their staffs. So that's another miracle. Okay, now we get back to Masechta Shabbos. The Mishnah records a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim. What's the case? Mirshus HaYochid, Lirshus HaYochid, Virshus HaRamim BaEmtza. So what happens here is, a person stands in a Rishus HaYochid, he throws an object over the airspace of Rishus HaRabu, and it lands in another Rishus HaYochid. Rabbi Akiva says, you're chayev. And the Chachomim say, you're potter. So we don't know exactly why Rabbi Akiva would say, you're chayev. He took it from one Rishus HaYochid into another Rishus HaYochid, and he never put it down in Rishus HaRabu. So boy Rabba is going to offer two different approaches to understand Rabbi Akiva, and ipso facto to understand the debate between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. The first approach is Lemato me'asara pligi. The object passed through the airspace of Rishus HaRabim on its way from one Rishus HaYochid to the other, below 10 tfachim, because the air of Rishus HaRabim goes up to 10 tfachim. So he threw it on a very low kind of a throw, and it passes through below Asar tfachim, so it's in the airspace of Rishus HaRabim. But we're still perplexed, because how can Rabbi Akiva say Yechayev just because it passed through the Rishus HaRabim's airspace? It never landed in Rishus HaRabim. Says Rabba Behapligi, the machlokas here is about the following principle. Mar Sav Rabbi Akiva holds that Amrinon, we say Kluta Kamisha Unchadami, that which is going through the airspace, flying through the airspace, is considered as if it was landed, it had landed and rested in that airspace, in that Rishus. The Rishus itself, so to speak, swallows up the object. And therefore, since the object went below 10 tfachim into the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, it's considered as if it's resting on Rishus HaRabim, and that's why he's chayev. Mar Sovar, however, according to the Chachamim, lo amrinan kluta kamisha unchadami. Even though something is flying through the airspace of a domain, that's not called munach. It's not resting. Resting means it's no longer in motion. If the object was thrown above 10 tfachim, which means that it was never in the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, divrei hakol patur, even Rabbi Akiva would have to agree that in this case you're patur, because in effect you took it from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid, and you never even entered into the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, because Rishus HaRabim is only up to 10 tfachim, and here he threw it above 10 tfachim. Now Rabba is about to present another approach, and according to his second approach, Rabbi Akiva is going to opine that Yochayev, even if it went over 10 tfachim of Rishus HaRabim. And what is the basis for that? So that's called Yalfinon Zorek Mimoshit. I think we've mentioned this in the past. In the case of Moshit, the Levium was standing one in the back Agola and one in the front Agola, and they passed one to each other, one to another, a beam, a keresh. And that molacha that was done in the Mishkan is called Moshit. And Moshit means that it went from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid over the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, because the Agolos, the wagons, were located in Rishus HaRabim in what's called the Machna Levia. And the airspace here is above 10 Tfachim. How do I know this? Because the Agolos were Rishus HaYochid. And if the Agolos are Rishus HaYochid, then ipso facto, it must be that they were lifted above the ground by 10 tfachim. So when he passes the beam from one wagon to the other, it's above the airspace of Rishus HaRabim. It's above Asar tfachim. And Rabba holds now in his first side, Lo Yalfinon Zorek Mimoshit. Moshit is only when you're holding on to a beam, an object, and you pass it over. But Zorek, if you throw it over, and it goes above 10 tfachim, we're not going to derive any conclusions from Moshit. O Dilma, or Rabba's alternative interpretation, Lamala me'asara pligi, the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is when he threw the object from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid over 10 Tfachim, over Rishus HaRabim, Baha Pligi, Demar Sovar, what's the Machlokes? According to Rabbi Akiva Yalfinon Zorek Mimoshit, what we saw in Moshit now becomes a precedent for Zorek, and we equate the two. And therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, even though he threw it above 10 Tfachim of airspace of Rishus HaRabim, he's chayiv, just like had he done a Moshit, he would be chayiv mar sovar, but to chacham say lo yalfin and zorek mi Moshit. We don't have a right to compare zorek to Moshit. Avol amata me'asora, divrei akol chayiv. According to Rabba's second interpretation, even the Rabbanan agree, my time akluta kamisha huncha damya, to the principle that if something is in the airspace of a rishus, it's considered as if it's resting in that rishus. But the airspace of Rishus HaRabim is only below 10 tfachim. Had he thrown it below 10 tfachim, even the chacham would say he's chayav because it's kamisha huncha damya. It's as if it rested on the karka of Rishus HaRabim. The machlokas is lamala me asara, because the question is, can we derive zorek from Moshit? Amar Rav Yosef, ha milsi boy leiler Rav Chizda, although Rav Chizda was vacillating about it, but nevertheless, Pashta Niela Rav Hemnuna. Rav Hemnuna had no problem. He was able to resolve this suffix. Meha from the following brisa. Mershus hayochid, Rishus hayochid vi over, Rishus harabim atzma. Notice that the brisa added one important word here, atzma. So basically the Braisa formulates and reformulates the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim. He threw it from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid and it passed through a Rishus HaRabim. And Rabbi Akiva says, Yechayim, and Chachamim say, Yepater. However, notice that the Braisa in describing the Rishus HaRabim adds that word Atzma. And this is what Rabbi Yosef tells us in the name of Rav Hemnuna, that we should be medayik carefully in the word me'atzma, midaka amar b'shus harabim atzma, since it says the public domain itself, atzma, pshita, it must mean that lamata me'asara pligi, the brisa added the word atzma to indicate that we're talking in the airspace, which is b'shus harabim, meaning below asara tvachim, ubimai. But now let's think about this brisa. Is the brisa talking about someone who throws it? Maybe the brisa is talking about someone who's carrying it. He carries it by hand from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid, and he takes it through a Rishus HaRabim. Nein, that's impossible. He can't be carrying it. Ubimai, Ilem Ubimavir, if you can interpret this brisa in a case where he is carrying it, is Lamata Me'asorahu Demachayev? Are you telling me that he's only Chayev because of Atzma? Atzma means he took it into Rishus HaRabim below 10 Tfachim, implying that Lamala Me'asorah Lo Machayev, that above 10 Tfachim it's outside of the Rishus HaRabim and therefore he's Potur. That can't be. It can't be that if you're carrying something from a Rishus HaYochid through a Rishus HaRabim above 10 Tfachim and you continue into a Rishus HaYochid, that you're Potter. Nobody would say you're Potter. Ha'om Rabbi Lazar, and this we've learned in the past, Rabbi Lazar has a derivation from the Mishkan that Hamotzi Masui Lemala Me'asara, if you're carrying something, like for example, let's say you're carrying something on your head. Okay, I don't know. You have to know whether that's called derech hotzah. But let's say you're carrying something on your shoulders, and it's above 10 tfachim. Is in that case, you're chayav, even though you went above the 10 tfachim limit of Rishus HaRabim, shekein maso b'nei kos. Right, the b'nei kos were responsible for carrying the aron, and they had to carry the aron with the badim that on the poles, you know, that they were holding were on their shoulders, and their shoulders were above 10 tfachim. So we see clearly that when it comes to carrying something, if you carry it through a Rishus HaRabim above 10 tfachim, then you're chayav. Elalav, and therefore by process of elimination, we have only one choice left, that this price is talking about Bezorek, where he threw it from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaYochid, through a Rishus HaRabu, and the Brisa says it's got to be Atzma, Rishus Rabbim Atzma, L'mata me'asor hu d'machayev. When Rabbi Akiva says Yechayev, it's because it was Atzma. It was below 10 tfachim in the airspace of Rishus Rabbim. But l'mala me'asor lo machayev. If it was above 10 tfachim, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that your potter, why? Shema mino bekluta k'mishon chapligi. The machlokis is only about going through the airspace of Rishus Rabbim, is it considered nach? But as far as deriving Zorek from Moshit, even Rabbi Akiva agrees, Lo Yalfina and Zorek mi Moshit, and therefore above 10 Tfachim, if you throw it, and it's not in the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, so there's no possibility of saying Kluta Kamisha Hunchadami, it's not even in the Rishus HaRabim, Rabbi Akiva would agree of Potter Shmamino. So this was Rav Hemnuna's conclusion based on the word Atzma in the Brisa, that Rabbi Akiva is only arguing to be Mechayev you based on Kluta if it's below 10 Tfach. Upliga de Rabbi Lazar, but Rav Hemnuna is against Rabbi Lazar. The Omer Rabbi Lazar, Mechayev hoy Rabbi Akiva afilu lemala me'asara. Rabbi Akiva would hold that you're chayev even if you threw the object from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid above 10 Tfachim of Rishus HaRabim. For Haidik, Tani Rishus HaRabim Atzma, he has a different take, Rabbi Lozner, on the extra word Atzma in the Braisa. Lo dichacha kochon dirabonon. He wants to tell you how far did the Rabbanon go, even in the case of below 10 Tfachim, where the object went through the airspace of Rishus HaRab, nevertheless the Rabbanon say your potter, because they reject the principle of Kluta Kamisha Unchadami. But in effect, Rabbi Akiva himself would have told you a bigger Chiddush, that even above 10 Tfachim Yechayev, because of the principle called Yalfinon, Zorek Mimoshit. Upliga de Rav Chilkia Bar Tuvi, and Rav Hemnun is not only against Rav Elazar, but he's also against Rav Chilkia. The Omer Rav Chilkia Bar Tuvi, and now we're talking about a case of a person who throws an object from one Rishus Hayochid to another Rishus Hayochid through Rishus HaRabim. And Rav Chilkia sets up three cases, three different scenarios, and he describes one scenario, there's no machlokas, the other extreme scenario, there's no machlokas, the machlokas is going to be in the middle case. What are the three scenarios? Toch shlosha, if the object was thrown really low on the ground. You know, you can imagine a person who's lying on the ground in a Rishus HaYochid, and he's able to throw something below three tfachim through Rishus HaRabim. Kuli Alma, everybody agrees, Divrei HaKol Chayev. Why? Because this has to do with the principle of Lavud. Lavud means that the karka is considered going up until three tfachim, meaning 2.9 tfachim. So even the Rabbanan would agree that he's chayiv in this case, because in effect the object had landed on Rishus HaRabim, the karka Rishus HaRabim. Again, it didn't physically land, but with this principle called Aris Michta, that we raise the ground, as we're going to talk about in a minute, three tefachim up, it's considered as if it was nach on the karka. Mishlosh v'yad asara. Oh, I'm sorry. Lamala me'asara, if he threw it above 10 tefachim, divrei HaKol potur. Everybody agrees you're potur, and we're holding now that lo yalfinon zorek mimoshit. So where is the machlokes? Mishlosha v'yad asara, between 3 and 10 tefachim. Bona machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan. The whole machlokes is reduced to the issue of kluta kamisha unchadami. Tanya Nami Hachi, we have a brisa that reiterates almost word for word what we saw in Rav Chilkia. Besok Shlosha, Divrei HaKol Chayev. Lomala Me'asara, Eina el mishum shvus, which means on a Doraisa level, everybody agrees that you're potter. The Rabbanan prohibited it, because if we're going to allow you to throw it above 10 tefachim, then tomorrow you might be tempted to throw it below 10 tefachim. The imayu reshuyo shalo mutter. If he's throwing it from a reshus ayochid to his own reshus ayochid, then we're going to allow it if it's above 10 tefachim, because basically he's throwing it from his own reshus ayochid through a makom ptur above 3 tefachim, and it's going to land in his own reshus ayochid. But between 3 tefachim height and 10 tefachim height, is then we have the machlokis Rabbi Akiva mechayev v'chachomim potri. Omar mar im hoy rishuyo shalom mutter, if he's throwing it from one rishus ayochid to another rishus ayochid through rishus arabim above 10 tefachim, and he owns both rishus ayochid, is lema, then it's mutter, is lema tevi tuv to derav. So now we have the case where a person owns two houses with a highway, a Rishus Arabim, that splits between the two houses. Shnei batim b'shnei tzidei Rishus Arabim. Rabba barav hunam arav. In the name of Rav, asur lizrok mizeh lezeh. Even though he's throwing from his house to his own house, his second house, and even though it's going above 10 tefachim, it's asur. And we just finished saying in the Braisa that it's mutter. Shmuel Amar, mutter lizrok zeh mizeh. If you own both Rishus HaYochids and you're throwing it above 10 tefachim over Rishus HaRabim, it's mutter. So the Gemara answers, lav miu kimna lahu, the statement of Rav and the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel was interpreted in the following case, kagon, de midli chad umetese chad. What it means is that, let's say, he's on the third floor of his house, and he wants to throw it into the window of his first floor on his other house, across Rishus HaRabim. So one is high and one is low. So he's throwing it on an angle, from a height down. Zimnin dinofal, Rav is afraid that maybe he won't be such a great shooter, and it'll fall shy in Rishus HaRabim, right, the public thoroughfare goes between, and then he's going to get so upset, V'yosi Lasuya, he's going to go down into the Rishus HaRabim, and he wants to get it into his house, so he's going to just finish the job, and throw it into his own house. And then, he's violated Meleches Hotzah, albeit B'shogeg, and therefore Rav says, we're not going to allow you to throw it from a higher floor into your next house above Rishus HaRabim to a lower floor, because it's very hard to get it exactly in. And if he misses, it's going to land on the floor of Rishus HaRabim. Oma le Rav Chizda Rav Hemnuna, V'yamri le Rav Hemnuna Rav Chizda, Minahal Milsa D'yomer Rabbanan. What's the basis for the principle that Kol Pachos Mishlosha, less than 3 Tefachim, is kilavu dami, which means that we assume that any area which is less than 3 tefachim, and there are two objects within that area, they are considered closed, like the airspace is closed. So for example, we said before that if you throw something and it's very close to the ground, and it's a Rishus HaRabim, but it's below 3 tefachim, we said it's considered as if it's landed on the ground. Omalei, you know what? We derive this from Svara, from logic. Why? Lefishi efshalo Rishus HaRabim sheti loket bimalaket uber hitni. These are different kinds of objects. Today we have those rollers, you know, those big, massive caterpillars. And these are used to flatten out the ground. And the ground, in those days, they didn't have the kind of, highways that we pave. They weren't paved. So therefore, it's impossible to pave the Rishus HaRabim, and there are always going to be bumps, and there are going to be little mounds, and therefore, the Rishus HaRabim goes up to 3 tefachim. So he says, Ihachi Shlosha Nami. Well, if you have these mounds and these bumps in Rishus HaRabim, some of them will reach even the height of Shlosha Tefachim. So why do you cut it off at Shlosha Tefachim? Vesu, and furthermore, Hadisnan, we have a Mishnah that says, Hamishalshel, this is in Sukkah. What happens is he weaves together his dofen. The dofen in this case is made out of some sort of a cloth, and he weaves together, and he's weaving and weaving and weaving from the top going down to the bottom. And milamal lamata, from top to bottom, imheim gvoim in a oret shol shetfachim, but if he stops prematurely before he hits the ground, and there's an airspace of three tfachim between the ground and where he stopped this dofen, right, this wall of the sukkah, is psula, then the sukkah is invalid. Ha pachos mishlosha, implying that if he lowered it all the way close to the ground, less than three tfachim off the ground, kshera. Now, what are you going to tell me now? You're going to tell me now that because we can't pave the ground of Rishus HaRabim, therefore this dofen of the sukkah is considered as if it reaches the ground? I mean, we want to fill in the space between the dofen and the ground and extend the dofen. So how can you apply the principle of lovehood here based on the fact that he efshol lo Rishus HaRabim shetilokeh? The Gemara says, you know what, that last objection I can reject. Why? Because with regard to sukkah, we have to make sure that the person living and surrounded by the walls of the sukkah is protected, so to speak. He's private, he gets that privacy, it's like a dira, that's where he lives for 7 days. If the partition is three tfachim or higher above the ground, meaning the airspace is three tefachim, then the little goats will be able to go in there. That's just an expression of you can't keep them out. You know, you can't say that you are actually surrounded and privately protected. And that's why it's possible. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. We have two different halachas of sukkah. In terms of the dofen, Tenach Lamata, your understanding of Gideon Bokimba is acceptable. When you're talking about a sukkah that doesn't reach the ground, so there's airspace and the Gideon go through that, but Lamala Ma'ikal Mimer, what about the case where he sets up his dofen of the sukkah and he starts from the ground, as he works his way up, he doesn't reach the top of his sukkah, and he reaches an area that's 2.9 tefachim before the top of the sukkah, and now we're going to say the sukkah is kshera because of lavud, but if it would have been 3 tefachim, it would be possible. Why? Because Gideon Bokimba? I mean, these little goats are not going up on top of the sukkah and breaking through. Ella, but rather, we have to reiterate the answer to the question of lavud. Where is lavud? From Ela Kol Pachas Mishlosha Kelavud Domi Hilchas Hagemiralon. When Moshe Rabbeinu was up at Har Sinai, he received the oral law, and included in that oral law was the halach of love. So love is not based on a svara like you wanted to say, because we can't flatten out Rishus HaRabim. I mean, that's not going to help us when we're going lovud up on top, but rather it's a Hilchas Hagemiralon. This reminds us of a Gemara earlier in this parak that we learned the other day about Avaris Dalet Amos Brishus HaRabim, that's also a Hilchas HaGemiralon. Tana Rabbanan, so until now we've been throwing an object from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid Derech Rishus HaRabim. Now we're going to flip it around. Now it's Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid Baemtza. He throws something from one Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim, and it's Rishus HaYachid in the middle. Rebbe Mechayev V'Chachomim Potrim. Rebbe says, you're chayev for this, and the Chachomim say your potur. Oh. So now, let's try to understand Rebbe. Is Rebbe applying the principle of Kluta Kamisha Huncha Domi? How does Rebbe get it to land in Rishus HaYochid? Is Rav Shmuel the Amrit Shavayu? Their understanding of Rebbe is that Lochiev Rebbe El Rishus HaYochid Makora. Rebbe is talking about a case where the Rishus HaYochid in the middle between the two Rishus HaRabims has a roof on it. The Amrina, and here we apply another principle called Besa Kiman Demal Yadami. That when you have a roofed private area, it's considered as if there are objects all over the place. They fill up the entire airspace. They are, so to speak, compressed together by the roof. And therefore, it's as if the object landed in the Rishus HaYochid because it's Makorah. But Aval Eina Makorah, if there would be no roof, if it's an open area on top, lo, then Rebbe would also agree that you're potter. Omer Rav Chana, Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Mechayev Hoyer Rebbe Shtayim, Achas Mishumotza, Veachas Mishumachnosa. If we're going to assume that according to Rebbe, when he throws it through the Rishus HaYochid, it's as if it landed in Rishus HaYochid, then he should be Chayev Shtayim. Why? He's Chayev for what we call Hotza, and he's Chayev now Mishumachnosa. Meaning, when he throws it into Rishus HaYochid, and it's considered as if it landed, that's called Achnosa. And now he takes it from Rishus HaYochid, and it goes out into the next Rishus HaRabim, that's called Hotza. Wait a second. Yosef Rav Chana v'kokashale, I don't understand, and here we turn to Tzadi Zayin Amid Beis, l'meimra shall we say, the Mechayev Rebbe atoldu b'mokom av, we've established at the beginning of this perek, that Achnosa is a tolda of Hotza. And we said that if you have a violation of both an Av and a Tolda in one forgetfulness, that you only bring one Chata. So why are you telling me it's Chayev Shtayim? Vasanya, we have a Braisa, and Rebbe says, Dvarim HaDvarim Eila HaDvarim. So we have now a Pasuk in Shmos, and the Pasuk has in reference to Moloch on Shabbos, it says Eile HaDvarim. HaDvarim is in plural. And Rebbe is going to start calculating the gematria here. Eile Shlosha, Eilu Shlosha, Vitesha, Molocha, Shenemru, Lemosha, Misinai. How do you get 39? Because you have Dvarim, HaDvarim, and Eile HaDvarim. So take the word Eile. Ela is 36, and then you add to that 36 dvarim, and dvarim is in plural, so that's a minimum of 2, and it says hadvarim, which is an extra letter that adds another one, so you have 3 plus 36 is 39, and the Gemara assumes that what's the whole purpose of teaching me that there are 39 malachas is to teach me that these are the avos malachas, and the maximum number of chatos you'll ever be chayef for violating the Shabbos if you do everything in the world is 39. Why? Because then you'll be violating a tolda together with its av. So we see that an av and a tolda only generate one chi of chatos according to Rebbe. So how could you have the audacity to tell me that according to Rebbe, in this case where he threw it from Rosh Hashanah through Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah, that he's going to be Chayv Shtayim? Amalei Rav Yosef, Mara Hamasnile, Vekashale Rebbe Adarebbe. In other words, you had a girsa here of Rebbe in which, right, that the statement that we just had in the name of Shmuel was attached to Rebbe, and Shmuel, according to your presentation, was telling us that according to Rebbe, he has to bring two chatos, the kashalei Rebbe ad Rebbe, hakibi chayv for an av and its tolda. Anan, however, ad Rebbe Yehuda masnisen. This comment that was made by Shmuel that your chayv shtayim, one for hachnos and one for otsa, he was saying it not in Rebbe's opinion. Rebbe would certainly not say your chayv for both, but rather in Rebbe Yehuda's opinion. And Rebbe Yehuda is the one who holds that your chayv for both an av and a tolda, and therefore lo kashalon, we have no problem. And I'm going to prove to you that the statement of Rebbe Yehuda or Shmuel was a comment on not Rebbe but rather Rebbe Yehuda. Tisanyu ever brisa, mirshus hayolch shusarabim. If he picks up an object in Rishus HaYochid, he throws it into Rishus HaRabim, the Ovar Ba'amas Rishus HaRabim, it didn't land exactly when he crossed the border and entered into Rishus HaRabim, but rather it flew a little bit further, 4 Amos into Rishus HaRabim, is Rabbi Yehuda Machayev V'Chachomim Potrim. Rabbi Yehuda says, Yechayev. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel Machayev Hoyer Rabbi Yehuda Shtayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, Yechayev Shtayim, Achas Mishum Otzov, Achas Mishum Avora, when it crosses the boundary into the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, at that point he's Chayev Mishum Hotzah, and then the object continues flying and penetrates four amos into Rishus HaRabim. He's now chayv another chatos for Meleches Havara, meaning carrying something four amos in Rishus HaRabim. And now the Gemara proves this logic that when Rav Yehuda says chayv, he meant to say yechayv shtayim. If you're going to argue that Rabbi Yehuda meant to say that you only chayv one chatos is michlal, then how do we interpret the Rabbanan who say pturim? It must be the patri legamri. The Rabbanan say you're completely exempt. Now that's impossible. He threw it from a rishus hayochid into rishus harabim. Okay, you don't want to tag on an additional chiyuv for the havaras dalet amos, but ha'apiklem rishus hayochid rishus harabim. You can't deny that he took it from rishus hayochid rishus harabim. Therefore, it must be that the chacham would agree that yechayv a chatas. So what's the machlokas now between Rabbi Yehuda and chachamim? It must be a yechayv one chatas for hotzah, or yechayv a second chatas, an additional chatas for Havaras Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim, because it flew four Amos into Rishus HaRabim. So where it says, Mimai, you know what? I'm not impressed by your proof. Dil Moli Olam Emelech, I could always tell you, Rabbi Yehuda Chada Hu Demachayev. If Rabbi Yehuda says you're Chayev only one, because you can't be Chayev for a told of a Mokum Av, so why would Rabbanan say you're Potter? Rabbanan Patri Ligamri. And the Rabbanan say Yipoto. Why would the Rabbanan say Yipoto? Eich Mishkacha say, what's the scenario? Kegon, the Omar, he made a declaration. Ad denafkale lirshus harabim tanuach. Meaning, as soon as it enters into the airspace, it will land. This guy's an expert thrower. He thinks that he could be mechaven such that he's going to throw it right over the boundary of rishus harabim, and that's where he wants it to land. And that was the statement that he made. Other than Mepharshim say he thought of it, he didn't have to say it. Oh, now where did it land? It didn't exactly land the way he wanted it to land. Instead, it flew into Rishus HaRabim for Amos. Here's the machlokas. To Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Amrinan Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadami Vias Avid Le Machshavto. Rabbi Yehuda says the minute it crosses the bounds into the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, it's as if it's resting on the ground. And now his machshava, his intention was fulfilled because he wanted it to land immediately when it enters into the airspace of Rishus HaRabim. That's exactly what happened because of Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadami. Okay, so that's why he's chayev in this case, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And the Rabbanan say he's not chayev at all. Rabbanan Savri, lo amrinan kluta kamisha huncha. They deny the principle of kluta, so it never really landed when it entered into Rishus HaRabim. Lo asavid machshavto, and this was not a fulfillment of his will. His will was it would land immediately when it crossed the border into Rishus HaRabim. Aval, I told him, Mokum Av, lo machayev Rabbi Yehuda. Now the claim is that Rabbi Yehuda would not say that Yechayev for told him, Mokum Av. He's only saying Yechayev one chatos for Meleches Hotzah. He's not going to tag on a second chatos for Havaras Dalet Amos because it penetrated four Amos. Gemara says, lo salkedaita. You can't say that. I'm going to prove to you that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Yechayev for a told him, Mokum Av. The sign we have a brisa, Rabbi Yehuda Mosif Af Hashovet Vamedagdek. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda adds another two malachos to the list of 39, and they are Shovet and Medagdek. Okay, now Shovet means that he lines up the shasi with a rod. There's a special rod that's called a shovet. I actually have a picture of it. And sometimes the shasi, well, those are the, if you remember, the vertical threads, they get tangled one to the other, so he has to separate them with a shovet. And when he does that, he's chayev from Meleches Shovet, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now we have something called midagdek. Midagdek means that sometimes he has to push down the threads. And we're talking now about the threads of Erev, which means they go horizontally from side to side. And if in order for the weaving to be tight, so there won't be spaces, he's got to push it down. And that he does with a malacha called Medagdeg. Amru lo, the Chachamim say, no. Don't add another two malachas. We have 39. That's a holy number. Shoved harei b'chlal mesich. Shoved is just a tolda of meleches mesich. Right? Mesich is when they first put up the shasi by stretching it from one kovid to the other. I hate to use that word kovid, but that's the word for it. And medagdek harei b'chlal oreg. You know, when he sets up the horizontal erev threads, that's really oreg. Then he's weaving it. My love, the avidnu the travayu bahari adodi. What's the nafkamina here between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda? What are they arguing about? It must be a case where he performed both together. In other words, he did shoveit and mesich in one forgetfulness, or alternatively, he did medagdek and oreg. And here's the machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda says he has to bring two chatos, and the Chachom say he only brings one. Shema mino, we see from this that Mechayv Hoy Rabbi Yehuda told her, b'mokom av. Gemara says, mimai, you know what? Your interpretation of the Bryce is incorrect. Dil moli olam di avdalahu lahalachuda vahalachuda. He performs each one separately. It wasn't that he did both an av and a tolda. Rabbi Yehuda told him makom av lo machayv. He also agrees that if you do an av and it's tolda, you're not chayev shtayim. You only chayev one. But kamifli, what's the machlokas? Rabbi Yehuda savar hani avos ninhu. For Rabbanan savri hani toldos ninhu. They're only arguing about whether you classify it as an av or as a tolda. And I've mentioned in the past that the nafkamina, the difference would be perhaps in Hasra, whereas the Rabbanan have a maximum of 39 Hasros, Rabbi Yehuda adds another two Hasros, and those lead up to the number of 41 Hasros. Teda, I'm going to prove to you that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shoveit and Medagdek are Avos, the Ketani Rabbi Yehuda, Diktani, because we have a Bryce that says Rabbi Yehuda Mosif, he adds, and what does it mean he adds? If he's adding to the number 39, I understand the word Mosif. My Mosif Avos, he's adding another two Avos to the list of 39. El Iamet Toldos, but if you're going to tell me that these two, Medagdek and Shoveit, are Toldos, is my Mosif? What does the word Mosif mean? I mean, there are endless number of toldos. He's not adding toldos. You know, nobody could be adding toldos. There are endless number of toldos. Itmar nami, Rabbi Yosi, the Amri Chavaya, Lochiv, Rabbi Yehuda, El Achas. Rabbi Yehuda would say that if you violate an av and a tolda, you're only chayev one. Amalei Ravino Ravashi, Ulamai, the Salka Daitach Meikara, according to your original Havamina. That you thought the Mechayev Hoy Rabbi Yehuda Shtayim, Rabbi Yehuda would say if you Chayev two Chatos in the case of an Av and a Tolda. For example, he threw it from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim and it landed four Amos into Rishus HaRabim, so he's Chayev for both Hotzah and Favvara. Ila Hachi Kaboyle Lachalokaboyve Ila Hach Kaboyle Lachalokaboyve. Where did he want it to land? How can you be Chayv Shtayim? Either he wanted it to land immediately when it entered into Rishus HaRabim and crossed the border, or he wanted it to land four Amos later. But to say that he's Chayv Shtayim, Amalei B'Omer, he declared, Kol Mokom Shetirtze Tanuach. Wherever the object lands, I'm happy. And here, because we apply the principle of Kluta K'mishahun Chadami, it's as if it landed in two different places. It landed on entry into Rishus HaRabim, because Kamisha Huncha, and it landed physically for Amos into Rishus HaRabim. Okay. Now, Pshita, the Gemara says, Niskavein Lizrok Shmona Vizarek Arba, a person had in mind to throw in Rishus HaRabim a full eight Amos, Vizarek Arba, and it landed only four Amos. But in order to get to eight Amos, it had to go through four Amos. So that's called Harei Kosav Shem Mishimon. In Perek Habone, which we didn't get to yet, that's the very next Perek, we have a malach called Kosev. Now he wanted to write the entire Shimon, the whole word Shimon, but he wrote two letters, which is the minimum chiyuv. He wrote Shem, Shin Mem, even though he wrote it with a small mem. That's going to be the sugya later on. Nevertheless, he's chayav for writing Shem. And the Gemara explains, Shame Mishimon, that becomes like a paradigm of a rule, that if you wanted to do a malacha, which is expansive, and you only did a part of that malacha, but you did enough that's considered chashivus, and you'd have to do that in any event in order to get to your goal, so any station, any way station stop on the way, you're chayav for. So since he wanted to throw it 8 amos, and he's got to pass through 4 amos, in order to get to 8 amos, it landed 4 amos into Rishus HaRabim Yischai. That's called Shem Mi Shimon. However, here's the deal. This is the question that really boggles my mind. Niskavi Lizrok Arba Vizork Shmona. Whoa, he wanted to land 4 amos from here. He didn't want it to go beyond that. And it ended and landed 8 amos away from him, an extra 4 amos. Mahu. And now the Gemara analyzes the study asafik, the two sides. Mi amrin, should we say, ha'apikle. Look, his intention was to throw it 4 amos. And that's a malach of havaris 4 amos, which is ram. And in fact, it did pass 4 amos. O dimo, should we say, heichad boy holo nach. But the other side is to say it didn't land where he wanted it to land. He wanted it to land after 4 amos. And it didn't land there. So Gemara says, "V'lav hainu d'yomer Ravina Ravashi." Isn't this the statement of Ravina Ravashi? The Omar, if he made a declaration, "Amalei be Omer called Makom Shetirtze Tanua," he declared that let it rest wherever it rests. So we see very clearly that only in this case, where the thrower indicated that he had no specific goal, he's happy wherever it landed, only in that case would we say he's chayav. But if he didn't make that declaration, or he didn't think that way, he really thought that he wanted to get it down to 4 tfachim, and instead it flew 8 tfachim, is then, apparently he would be potter. Okay, we'll see what we can finish the daf in the next 3 minutes. Udeka Amrit Hare Kosav Shem Mishimon. And the Gemara says, what about the case where he threw it 8 amos? And you told me that if it lands 4 amos, he's definitely chayiv in that case because of Shem Mishimon. Me dummy. I don't think this is Shem Mishimon. Hasam, in the case of Shem Mishimon, Kamadalo Kosiv Shem, Lo Michtav Le Shimon. Until he writes Shem, he's not going to get Shimon. So he definitely wants to write Shem. But Hacha, Kamadalo Zorik Arba, Lo Mizdarke Le Timni. So the literal translation of this is, as long as he doesn't throw the object a distance of 4 amos, it cannot be thrown a distance of 8 amos? In other words, he wanted to throw it 4 amos. And now it landed 8 amos. That's a whole different malacha. That's not a fulfillment of his desire. He, in the case of Shimon, wanted to write Shem. But in the case where he intended to throw it 8 amos, and it should land 8 amos, he had no intention whatsoever that it should land 4 amos. Okay, we'll just start the next Gemara, which will end. Tanur Abanon, we learned in a Brisa, Zorek, Mirshus Arabim, Mirshus Arabim, Mirshus Ayochid, Boemtza, Arba Amos, Chayov. So he threw it from one Mirshus Arabim into another Mirshus Arabim. There was a Mirshus Ayochid in between. And Arba Amos, the object traveled into the second Mirshus Arabim, a full 4 Amos. And he's chayev. But pochos mi arba amos, potur. My kamash malon. And what's the chiddush of this price? So kamash malon, reshuyos, mitztarfos. De lo amrinon, Kluta Kemisho and Chodami. So in this case, where it went through Rishus HaYochid, you might say that the Rishus HaYochid is a mafsik, and it separates his Akira from his Hanacha, because in between his Akira in Rishus HaRabim, there was Rishus HaYochid, and that's called Rishuyos Mechalkos. No. We're going to apply a different principle. Rishuyos Mitztarfos. We're not going to say that the Rishus HaYochid in the middle separates one Rishus Ram from the other. And the reason for that is because Lo Amrina, we don't have the principle of Kluta Kamisha Hun Chedami. So let's just see where we got up to. And we're up to the two dots, which is on the third line of Daf Tzariches Omer Aleph.